that we're going to share with you. And we owe them a lot of gratitude, a great amount of gratitude for what they did. We could have easily just made declarations and been done, but this is very, very well thought out, as you, some of you have probably looked through it already, and necessary. And we're rolling this out as quickly as we've done. This was wrapped up around, what, 5:30 or 5 o'clock yesterday afternoon.
Thanks.
And that being the case, I mean, this is like a record time for setting up a meeting and then getting everybody together. And we have a really good turnout here. Everybody's here. One person's out of state. But other than that, all the supervisors are here. And obviously, this is an extremely important event or meeting. So we're going to advise the supervisors what the plan is that you have in front of you and give you guys the opportunity to, folks, the opportunity to ask questions and make comments on it. And we will be signing an emergency order, which you have a copy of, declaring a state of emergency in Schoharie County as of 11 o'clock this morning. And there's 5 points in there that I'll ask you to take a look at, and we'll discuss if we need to. We are going to follow this meeting with a meeting with the department heads at 11:30 this morning to pretty much do the same thing, but drill down in a lot more detail at some of the things that the department heads and the county administrator's office will work on to make this happen as quickly as possible. Do I leave anything out from the members of the team? Task force. Yes, Steve.
I would just add, we'll be meeting with the heads of our 3 unions later this afternoon.
That's right. Thank you. So without further ado, what I'm going to do is ask Dr. Amy, who couldn't be here, to give you an overview. And we're not going to read this back to you. You can read just as well as anybody else. But to give you an overview of what they looked at, what's going on with the COVID-19 virus and the recommendations that this task force made to the Board of Supervisors. So Dr. Amy, if you will.
Good morning. I'm very, very sorry that I was not able to be there in person. I found out yesterday that I have been in direct contact with someone who is very likely to test positive for COVID-19, and until that test result comes back, I'm not going to be physically present at the county building or at meetings, because to do so would put my entire department in jeopardy of being put into quarantine. I don't want to put other community members at risk, nor do I want to put the board at risk. So I'm not used to speaking to this over the phone. I'm used to being able to get a sense of reaction, and I apologize that I'm not able to do that today. So as you all know, COVID-19 is a brand new virus, and nobody in our community has immunity at this point. There's no vaccine, there's no treatment. If you catch this disease and require hospitalization, the only thing they're able to do for you is provide fluids, respiratory support, and any other kind of support that they have. But there is no medication, there is no treatment at this point. As we know, approximately 80% of people who have this are going to have mild, moderate symptoms, which sounds great, and they will be able to convalesce at home. They will be able to, keep their eye on their temperature, have fluids, take anti-inflammatories, antipyretics, and they will recover in their own home. However, that means that we will have about 20% of people that catch this that are going to have need for medical support, most likely hospitalization or ideally hospitalization. Many of those people are going to need to have respiratory support. That usually means that they're going to need intensive care. If you run the numbers on this, in Schoharie County, we have somewhere in the neighborhood of 32,000 people. All right, and if we assume that we have 50% of people who catch this disease, And some have estimated lower, some have estimated higher. In Germany, they're estimating 70%. But let's just go with 50%. That's 16,000 people. And of that 16,000 people, 12,800 are going to recover at home, and it's going to be just fine. Approximately 3,200 people then are going to need some level of hospital support. As we know, Cobuska Regional Hospital has about 40 beds, and none of them are ICU beds. They have two beds that have negative pressure rooms. Statewide, there are only about 3,000 intensive care beds total for the entire state. So there's not even enough intensive care beds in the entire state to cover the level of illness that we would anticipate seeing. The only way that we can make sure that we are able to serve as many people as possible is to delay the spread of the disease as much as possible. The goal right now is it can no longer be contained. This is not something where we can quarantine people and anticipate that if we put people into quarantine, we can contain it and we will no longer have COVID-19 in the United States. This is something where we are now desperately trying to delay the spread of the disease. So in order to do that, what we need to do is we need to practice extreme social distancing. We need to have our entire society throughout the United States, let alone New York, work together to have as little contact with each other as possible. This doesn't mean that 50% of the people aren't going to catch this disease eventually. The goal is not necessarily to prevent people from eventually catching it. It's in our society at this point. The goal right now is to prevent people from catching it so fast that we overwhelm our hospitals to the point where we have people suffering at home, unable to get medical care. We're looking at a situation where we will have a tremendous number of people in need of respirators who will be unable to get them. I can't, as I said in my written statement, which I believe you have in front of you, this cannot be overstated. In countries where they've acted early and decisively and had extensive testing available, the death rate has been around 1%. In Schoharie County, that would mean that about 160 people will die of the virus with good medical care. That's the situation with good medical care. If there's less good medical care, that worldwide average right now is about 3.7. That would mean we'd have about 592 deaths. In areas where they have dramatically overwhelmed their medical system, such as Italy, the current death rate in Italy is 7.3%. In Schoharie County alone, that would mean that we would have 1,168 deaths from this disease. And in Italy, that death rate is increasing rapidly. They have completely overwhelmed their medical system to the point where they are making algorithmic-based health decisions. And in their case, they're basing it in pretty much mostly on the age of the individual. And so they've got a cutoff somewhere between 60 and 65. And if you are over that age, you do not receive medical care in Italy right now. If you're able to recover from this disease on your own without medical intervention, that's great. If you cannot do that, you will die. So in the United States, we tend to be very, very confident of our medical system, and we should be. We have a great medical system. However, it does not have the capacity to deal with a pandemic that is to this extent. There is no way that our medical staff can treat that many people, and we don't have the equipment. The governor yesterday called for involvement of the military and to mobilize the Army Corps of Engineers to start building hospitals, and I think that's exactly right. But even if that happens, what we need to do right now is to try to decrease the rate at which this spreads. It means that this is going to last longer. It's going to last a much longer time than if we just let it sweep through the society. This is likely to last 4 to 8 weeks at the minimum, possibly longer. But if we can if we can create a situation where it is lasting longer and the peak of the illness is less intense, it will allow more of the people in our society and in our county to be able to access medical care, and it will cause, it will enable us to have fewer deaths. Right now, the organist at Copelsville United Methodist has a niece. Her niece's husband is 44 years old and in intensive care and struggling for his life. This is not just a disease of older people, although it is much more likely to affect older people seriously. Those in their 80s have over 15% death rate. So that pretty much covers what I wanted to communicate to you today in terms of the urgency of this. Right now in New York State, you know, I said earlier that about 20% of people will need to be admitted to a hospital, and in New York State right now, our statistics are that 19% are being admitted to the hospital. So we're tracking very closely with the overall numbers. So I will ask for questions.
Go ahead. Who has a question?
We're going to turn down the volume of these when the questions are asked so that it doesn't echo and people can still understand.
I'm sorry, can't hear the question.
You have to unmute that if someone's asking a question.
Were we on meeting one at a time, right?
No, we didn't get the clear question yet.
Okay, I'm sorry. I could hear someone talking, but I couldn't hear a question.
Does anybody have a question? Really?
I have a question, Bill.
Go ahead.
And Dr. Amy, this COVID-19 recommendations by the task force, they are available from the county electronically at this point?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I can barely hear that. I think what you asked is whether those recommendations were available electronically, and that would be a question for Mr. Wilson and Mr. Federici, not for me.
Yes.
I hope the supervisor is going to get an email that has this in there. Should we go out and reach out for it? I want to get this to my town.
We can send it to you.
That's
easy enough.
That's a good idea.
Sure.
Thank you.
Expect it. This is Steve. Expect an email from Mike or Colleen with a copy of the full report, along with our emergency order and Dr. Amy's remarks. Okay, Mike?
Anybody else?
I guess I do. I was asked this yesterday. If you get the coronavirus, can you get it again if you get over it? Or when you get over it?
I couldn't hear that.
Dr. Amy, the question is from Peggy from the town of Jefferson. If you get the coronavirus and you get over it, can you get it again?
At this point, we are unsure of that. It appears that that may be possible.
Thank you.
But we don't have enough data at this point to know.
You got the county treasurer.
Yeah. All right, go ahead.
You have to speak loud.
If you were sick 2 weeks ago or a month ago, and now you're thinking it may have been this virus, is there a test to test for that?
If you are currently not sick, you would not be tested. Right now, the availability of testing is ramping up quickly, but we still need to keep the test for people who are currently sick, that there might be a response to that. In addition, I am not sure whether you would test positive after the fact or not. I don't know that aspect of the testing.
I didn't know if blood work or something would show that, because then you would know people that may have already had it, didn't know they were contagious, and would know who all those people were in contact with.
Right. We don't have the capacity to go through that retrospective right now. We're struggling to keep up with the known cases and doing the case contact tracking for those. So even if we had that information, we would not be able to follow up on it, unfortunately.
Anything else? Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Dick.
Yeah. Hi, Dr. Amy Dickley. Hope you're doing well. So, bullet point number four. Yes, yes. On the emergency orders, all Schoharie County schools shall be closed as of March 16, 2020 to help slow and spread of COVID-19. I'm sure that's a moving date. I mean, that could change like in the next few days. And I'm sure we'll be updated as those time frames come forward.
Yes, we initially recommended that the schools do a 2-week closure. I am, quite frankly, I am hopeful and very confident that is going to be extended. But I think it makes sense to do a 2-week closure and then see where we're at as we come to the end of that 2 weeks. And I've communicated that to the school superintendents and both these.
Dr. Amy, it's Wes Larraway. I just left our school. With the state of emergency orders, should we be doing things like delivering food to kids' houses?
I didn't catch the end of that. Should we be doing things like?
Delivering food to kids' houses.
Yeah, so everybody is scrambling to figure those pieces out right now. I think that the county is going to be looking at some ways to address needs of people who have, you know, who have unusual requirements or should not be going out, have higher susceptibility. I know that some school systems are addressing it in a variety of ways. Public School Richmondville is doing bag breakfast lunch pickup. And is continuing with the backpack program. The key is to figure out ways to do it with as little person-to-person contact as possible.
Okay.
Maybe I can add to that, in where I am in Conesville, the Gilboa-Conesville district was strongly considering, and they may have already closed on it. Who knows where the kids are better than anybody else but the bus drivers. So they may enlist the bus drivers to deliver the meals.
Well, that's what Middleburg was doing.
Yep.
Yeah, that makes sense if you can do that.
This is Steve. I should add, we're in close contact with the schools and have been on this. So there's a bit of sort of coordination and advice going back and forth. Our report also has in the back a series of recommendations about our own operations. And there will be some significant impacts there.
Right. Now, talking about that, it will be a challenge to find a network or a way with this, when this thing is at its peak, to get food or some other necessities to those persons who are quarantined, but also homebound, that are in a very high risk or vulnerable group that really should not be going out, but they need some kind of support for, like I said, food or necessities.
OES, Mike, is working on the volunteer aspect. I think you already met with the volunteer group this morning. We do not currently have a case, as far as I know, right now, although it's likely in hours or days we're going to find that we do have cases. So the need for volunteers is not immediate, but we got to do some significant planning.
Yes, that's going, especially when this thing ramps up. All right, anybody up? I'm sorry.
She said counties around us already have positives.
Yes.
Yes, we're surrounded, basically.
Yep.
Any additional questions? Yes, Alan.
Have we decided how we're going to handle the senior meals program?
Right.
Say it again.
We decided how we're going to handle the senior meals delivery, home delivery program.
The Office of the County Aging is committed to continuing doing that, but the devil's in the details that we need to work out, and who, hopefully we could still stay with the same network with some strong precautionary things, like maybe just ring the bell and leave it on the doorstep, stuff, things like that. But again, that's also, I mean, this thing is moving so fast. A lot of the recommendations we made will either be added to or revised. And we thought it was best, this is really a nice piece of work that the team did, but we thought it was best that we needed to get out, we're going to make the declaration, of course, but get out and give this to all interested parties, of course, the supervisors, department heads, and so forth, and the public. But we do want to, or we realize that we're going to need to tweak this and change it. So this document will be updated probably quite frequently.
Currently, Office of Aging, for its current Meals on Wheels customers, has put in place some enhanced handling, and it's the usual stuff that we've heard about that will allow us distancing. They've started practicing that last week, but we haven't addressed the expansion of that service yet.
Thank you.
And I just wanted to add that we are standing up the Emergency Operations Center, so we will take those requests in, and as we always do, we'll look how to fill those requests, whether it be if we do it locally, if we can't do it locally, we're going to look at the state, we're going to look at the federal government. So I think in the plan, too, we also address that not essential and essential, so Meals on Wheels being an essential agency, they would stay open until the fact that they could no longer do it, and then the Emergency Operations Center would get a request to try to fill those, whether it be volunteers, National Guard, or whatever we need to do at that point.
Thank you. Everybody? Oh, Don.
Bill, in terms of, this is kind of minor, but in terms of committee meetings, are you leaving that up to chairs of the committees, whether they cancel or go forward with those? How do we proceed on that?
Okay, that's a very good question, and it's, as a matter of fact, a full board meeting, too. The recommendation is that we do everything we can to suspend those types of meetings face-to-face, and that's one of the reasons we're in this room, because we're not on top of each other at the board table.
Yep.
That is to be determined exactly how we do it. One of the tenets of the state of emergency is that we will do our best to be public, but also maybe find some electronic means to conduct at least the most important business. And I'm just talking out loud here. Maybe we record those meetings, those conference calls, and make them available to the public, so there's still transparency, maybe a little bit later or different than we would under normal circumstances. But obviously, we want to make sure that all the county employees that are still considered essential that are in the building, as well as ourselves. I mean, look around the room, look at the average age here. We want to try to, you know, we need to err on the side of being cautious. And Phil, and then Alicia.
I guess my question, I mean, I'd like to ask a question, Mike West. How does that stand with the open meetings law for the public to come in?
Well, I mean, number one, you're under an emergency. And so basically everything is fair game. And what you do is you try to find what is a reasonable accommodation. As an example, this was a very quickly called meeting, and what I say is when you're going to have a special meeting, what you at least do at a minimum, if you're able to post on your website, but call the press that services your meetings, okay? They basically become the eyes and the ears of the public that can't be here. So you just try to find what you feel is a reasonable accommodation, and certainly keep the press involved and everything as you go along. And as I said, if this is going to be a state of emergency, then basically all rules are off within reason. So, if you remember, we actually had a meeting in the fairgrounds after the flood. I'm glad we didn't do that. It was kind of cold this morning, by the way. So,
I suggested a football field.
Did you really?
Yeah. But I don't think, and I also suggested the Cobleskill Richmondville Auditorium, but I'm not so sure they'd be too crazy about that, but it's an option.
I don't know. I think they'd be okay.
Okay. Maybe. Well, we may take them up on that. Alicia.
So, two things. It was my understanding that the governor suspended some of the requirements for FOIL.
Yes.
I don't know if that extends to county governments or if it's just for state, but that was my understanding. My next, and that follows or leads into my next question, is will some of this technology that we're going to use to hold virtual meetings potentially be available for towns to use, because while we've already had our town board meeting for the month of March, April 1st isn't that far away. And, you know, if there is an opportunity not to put more on IT, for that technology to be used by towns, I think that would be helpful.
Well, under New York State law, as it previously stands, they do not allow for electronic meetings. And if you were to hold an electronic meeting, the way the law is, let's say a supervisor was in the state of Florida, that you would have to let the public know if they wanted to go to the state of Florida and listen in on his side. But anyways, with there being the state of emergency, that all rules are off, the electronic is certainly acceptable. And since you're a subpart of the state of New York, I would say that the towns have every right to, you know, to use that technology. Why not? No harm, no foul. And I always look at it this way. It's better to ask for forgiveness than beg for permission. So.
Mike, I think it's safe to say that the Village of Middleburg election for Wednesday is canceled.
I guess that's up to the village board themselves to decide if they want to do that, or the Board of Elections.
No, I don't know. I'm asking.
They were saying it's still on, but everything changes.
Yeah.
And how about our local town courts?
Well, again, I think it's up to the court to decide, and with the suggestion. I mean, generally with the courts, I mean, you're either handling speeding tickets or a small claims matter. So there isn't anything that's life-threatening or of a necessity. So I would think that it would make better sense for the judge, just for safety purposes, to say, okay, we'll just adjourn those, you know, for 30 days. And
I talked to our town judge yesterday, and he went on the website and said the current direction as of yesterday was to keep the courts open.
But the interesting thing is, my wife is a court reporter in Albany, and yesterday it came down the pipe that there are only, for all of the county of Albany, one judge, one court reporter, only for emergency applications. And so I cannot see why a town court has anything that's life-threatening. And I would imagine that probably even Schoharie County courts will probably be scaling down. If it's coming out of Albany, it's going to filter down because we're all in the same district. So I guess just use discretion. Whatever the judge feels, I think, and the town feels, I think you as the town could tell him this is what we want you to do. And I think he should respect that.
Right. The only thing I think that needs to be walked through is this new bail law where you have to be or at least arraigned within 15 days or have your day.
They're all going to be released anyways, so I guess, you know, hopefully they're all smart enough, they figure, well, we ought not to go out and commit crimes while there's a virus going on. But the other thing that maybe the sheriffs can use some discretion in, they're issuing just tickets if it's nothing more major.
We can give them later dates to appear.
Yeah, right. That's what they would do.
When it comes to information, especially what the orders are from the state and stuff like that, our website is up to date. There's been a ton of that stuff that's coming out pretty much every day. This document also has a ton of links in it that can address, I think, a lot of these questions. You don't have to guess.
But we haven't set it up yet, but we think it would probably be a good idea, at least to try it in the beginning, to have a periodic briefing. It probably would be just a call, so we don't have to get together, but periodic briefing for the supervisors. I mean, you have a question that you think is super important. Don't hold it in the briefing. You can call me, you can call the emergency management office, you can call Steve, or the particular department head if it involves one of their areas. But we'll try to keep you abreast of everything that's going on. They may be short calls if there's no change, but I imagine in the beginning there's going to be quite a few things that we'll want to talk about. So that's a work in progress when we're going to set that up, but sooner than later. Peggy.
I just wanted to say on the town courts, I talked with our judge. They're getting updates regularly, and some of the tickets and so forth that they've received, they can put on hold. But they have phone numbers to call to get permission to change and close their courts. So.
And a lot of that's coordinated through our DA's office, and I would hope that they're sympathetic to, and they don't want to come out. Okay. Anybody else?
So to summarize, when a constituent says, what does a Skerry County Declaration of State of Emergency entail? How does it affect me?
Most of the declaration concerns the administration of county government, and it affects them in ways such as suspending, as an example, suspending the procurement process and not going, if you can find emergency supplies somewhere, securing them so we can get them out to our citizens. We can apply them. That's probably the number one thing. Some of them are administrative, like the schools, I applaud them for doing it and figuring out how they're going to do it, make it good later. In Schoharie County last week, they all agreed to, on Friday, we're closing, which was a good move. But then, of course, just like us later on, administratively, we'll have to figure a few things out, and one of them is, in this, we were specifically requested to include that the schools were ordering the schools to be closed in our emergency orders because they would not be subject to state aid if they were under the 180 days that the state requires.
For an example, somebody this morning that said, how do I pay my taxes? I said, mail it. She's working from home.
Okay.
Well, I think that as we go on, I think, like you said, things are going to, you know, clear up. But whether, I think Montgomery County, if I heard correctly this morning, they actually have already closed their county offices. Okay, so, but there are essential personnel, whether it's DSS, health department, mental health, you know, transportation, they will have to figure out themselves how best to continue with essential services. Now, I mean, I, for one, as a lawyer, feel that if you're closing the county clerk's office, they may have somebody that needs to file something, otherwise they're going to miss a date. That seems important, but I'm sure that with the emergency, if somebody missed a date, the courts would understand that because it wasn't under that person's control. So I guess we're going to hear a lot more information soon. I don't know why anybody has to go to DMV. I mean, that always seems to be packed with people. Even if their license is expiring or their registration is expiring, I think that's a no harm, no foul thing. If they get a ticket, we'll get the judge to dismiss it, and we'll go on. So it's common sense. Phil had a question.
Yeah.
A question I broached last night when we talked is that the different towns may need supplies to help decontaminate, and I just thought that we should bring that out to
sure.
the rest of the county supervisors that it's available through our emergency services.
Once the town runs out of their supplies.
Right, that's why I just wanted to bring it up.
And
towns don't stock that much on hand.
No.
And I'm sure the Board of Health has been involved in this whole thing, Phil?
Yes.
You've been working on this?
Right. Okay. But maybe I'll just let, do you want to add to that?
No, yeah, just as in any emergency, forward your requests to us and we'll do our best to try to fill them. Either we'll try to fill them locally, if we can, we'll reach out to the state and then out to the federal government. We'll send whatever request you have.
It'd be nice if there was like one point of contact.
I just figured it was viable that it gets out there so each one of us.
That's what I'm saying, one point of contact.
The only thing I ask is when you start to send stuff to us, please remember the who, what, where, why, when. Because if you send me a request, I had someone do it the other day and says, I need N95 masks. It wastes my time and theirs because I have to send it back and go, how many N95 masks are you looking for? Where would you like them? And all those other questions. So make sure you do that who, what, where, why, when if you're going to send it. It just speeds up things.
Steve, you wanted to say something.
I want to call your attention to some of the more impactful recommendations, in particular the one that closes all county facilities to employees
Steve.
And the public.
Steve, what page are you on so they can follow?
Page 10. No later than tomorrow at 9 a.m. through March 31st, possibly extended. This will be important because department heads will need to identify who is essential and who is not. And so we're going to need to figure out to how we're going to provide a minimal level of service to the public. The other thing with the executive order, we may well need to reassign employees. So imagine DSS workers, I don't know, maybe helping the health department trace who's gotten sick or something like that. Also, there is the matter of how to keep employees who have to work from financial harm. That's actually turns out to be a relatively complicated thing administratively, and we'll need to work that through with
Right, but there, but just, if I just can add to that, Steve, the intent is not to have any of those people hurt. And we're budgeted for it anyway, and really, in a crisis like this, money's always important.
A lot of people end up getting comp time if they have to work while they're getting their regular pay.
Right, but at the same time, there's also some discussion of, from the state and federal governments of either making them whole or making us whole.
Phil,
but it hasn't been satisfied yet. Phil had a comment.
My question is, how does this affect the rest of the businesses in our county?
Let me talk about
how does
that.
It affect an entity like the Power Authority, like John's construction job, he's moving up there. There's many other businesses throughout the county. How does our emergency declaration going to affect them?
Well, I wanted to say something to begin with before we even got to that. Number one, you are all the leaders of your community. That's why you are in the position that you're in. And you have to do nothing but exude confidence and not let people get scared, period, number one. Number two, businesses. You know something? A lot of businesses are on a razor sharp edge, make it or break it. And therefore, you know, if, for example, New York City, where they're saying we're closing all the restaurants, do you realize how many businesses would go out and people would be left unemployed? This, again, we have to be confident. We have to, I don't see any reason at this juncture why we want to do anything that's going to hurt businesses. Again, it's like, let's take small steps. We haven't got anybody yet. If all of a sudden things start getting out of hand, we can make further recommendations. But I'd hate to close restaurants and close businesses, and because that's where your real harm's going to come in.
And like a restaurant or any other place that has a gathering of people, you're already at 50%.
But even if you go 50% capacity, businesses still can't make it on 50%. I mean, because of that razor's edge. So everybody's.
That's why I wanted to. Yeah. I wanted it brought out so we was all on the same.
Right.
Page. Thank you, Mike.
And I'll give you an example. My town hall has a capacity of 40, right on the wall. So if we have our meeting next month, it will be maxed out at 20 people in the room. And we will follow the rule. Don.
Thanks, Bill. Just follow on to Phil and to Mike's comments. County's got a declaration order here. You're going to sign it today at 11 o'clock, I take it. Guidance from the county to the towns. I'm all for and in support of what Mike's statements are regarding we need to put on, or at least be able to show the local communities that we are in business. County, I mean, towns are still operating from the standpoint of services. Is there a recommendation from this county at this point? Or let me be clear about this. Is each town going to make its own decisions regarding operations or suspension of same?
That's a two-part answer. The first one, of course, is each town will make its own decisions. That's home rule. We can make recommendations and advisements. However, the second part of the answer is, if our county board of our county health department makes an order or an order from the state that countermands the local town's ability to regulate or permit people to continue working, obviously we have to follow that.
Okay.
So,
okay, that's clear.
You see, I talked to my dentist the other day. I happened to see him in the grocery store. And he said OSHA has come down with regulations that say anybody that's in close proximity that's dealing like dentists or doctors, they have to wear respirators, including the hygienists. Well, there are no respirators. So does that mean that dentists can't work, that doctors can't work? I mean, there's a lot of indecision out there right now.
Okay.
Amy?
So Dr. Amy wanted to comment. I texted to her that we had to turn it down due to the cyclical feedback, so she has a comment.
I hear saying hello.
It's not ringing, that's just audio.
You disconnected her on that one.
technology.
All right, well, we're working on it. Did you disconnect?
You should be able to hear from that one, though, right?
Yeah.
She's still on. We just need you on something louder.
Go ahead, Dr. Amy.
Okay, thank you. I really apologize. I do need to push back against the idea that we need to make sure that that restaurants are able to operate at 50% capacity. And I'm very sensitive to the needs of small business and the razors and margin that people are at. However, the public health benefit to this is very, very stringent. Self-isolation and limitation of contact with other people. People should not be eating in restaurants at this point. A number of restaurants have put into place ways of getting takeout, and something like that would be acceptable at this point. But I think you're not understanding the severity of this if you're saying that businesses should be remaining without change and that restaurants should be operating at 50%. This is we are beyond that already. If we wait until we have cases, it's going to be catastrophic.
But are we in a position, can you hear me, Dr. Amy? Okay. Are we in a position then to make that kind of order? Or are we at the point where we'll just make a strong recommendation?
I will make a strong recommendation that stores find ways to serve the public while maintaining social distancing to the greatest extent possible and being diligent about cleaning. I would make a recommendation that restaurants be very limited in in-person service, if at all, and that they strongly consider to moving to takeout only.
And how would we deliver that message to those businesses?
My office could contact. We have the health department's Facebook page has been extremely active. People are sharing and understanding the messaging.
Board of Health.
I think the one that I put up last night had 20,000 views or something like that.
Does the Board of Health have any recommendations that they're going to be making, Phil?
They haven't come out with any further recommendations that I'm aware of, correct, Dr. Amy?
I have been working flat out on other issues, and the doctors have been also very occupied with this particular situation. I will reach out to them and ask if they would be willing to put out a statement. At this point, I would make it guidance, not mandatory.
Right.
We aren't at the point of New York City of having a lot of cases, but truly the benefit from a public health standpoint and from an epidemic standpoint to doing these closures is to do them before you have widespread disease. If you wait until after you have widespread disease, the businesses are still closed, the schools are still closed, but you lose all the advantage just for staying open for another 2 or 3 days.
Correct me if I'm wrong, Dr. Amy. COVID-19 plan we have is basically just an update from the one that we looked at the Board of Health meeting that you presented at our last Board of Health meeting, correct?
Correct.
And my next question is, yes, you've got to look at the benefit to the health benefit, but you also have to come up with a happy medium that where you can't put people out of business. You put them out of business, you're going to jeopardize the whole economy, and you're going to jeopardize the whole county and the state if you put people out of business. And so we got to walk kind of softly in where we're going. We just can't make a recommendation that they shut down, because you'll kill the whole economy in the county and everything else. we got to use a little common sense as we go along with this.
Hold your response for a second. I just want the volume while you're back up.
Okay, sorry. Sorry, am I ready? I'm not recommending that they shut down completely at this point. However, we need to be unequivocal in recommending as much social isolation as possible. We're on an exponential growth curve with this particular disease. You are going to see it explode over the next 3 to 4 days. And a week from now, it will look nothing like it looks right now. Each day is critical right now. Each day. This is not walk slowly and reassess in a week. Each day is critical.
I have to just say something. Of course, I'm a believer in taking small steps, and certainly I understand Dr. Amy's point that she feels that this is going to just explode. Luckily, I guess today is Monday, and a lot of restaurants are closed on Monday. The other thing is, she has the absolute power to close every restaurant as the health department. I'm hoping that is something that will be very cautious in pulling that trigger. Some businesses, not all businesses because they can't afford it, have business interruption insurance. So if that happens, there's a possibility they can get something as a result of that. So I don't believe we've yet seen one case in Schoharie County. I think we're very proactive in closing the schools and taking large steps. And so I guess everybody has said that this is going to be a day by day, probably hour by hour decision that you're going to be making. So I think good information, good education to the public that's out there. And also maybe it's not necessarily the restaurants that are looking to minimize, but maybe people themselves don't need to go out on Tuesday and Wednesday night to eat dinner, you know? So I think it's a community effort.
John, I know, has a question. I just want to add one thing, okay, John? I see it in my community, and you probably see it in yours too, that there are some people that are somewhat skeptical of what's being said. Now, been working with Dr. Amy on this for the last, I don't know, 2 weeks or so, maybe more, but a lot more intense in the last 2 weeks. And everything Dr. Amy has said, almost right down to the day, has been spot on. So if she says we're going to be in serious shape in 3 or 4 days, I believe it. John?
Two things I want to bring up. Number one, I believe in relation to the private businesses, I believe the governor's office did come out last night and asked for the voluntary closure of private businesses. And he said, and at this point, it is a voluntary request. However, if it is not complied with, then it would go beyond the voluntary request as far as closing private businesses down. But I agree with what you said. The other point I wanted to bring up is, and I know they're controlled by the education department. Right now, SUNY Cobleskill is on break, is on spring break, and they will be coming back next week as well. And I want to know if there's been any coordination with them, based on the fact that all those students will be coming in, and there are still a lot of students that did not go home on break that are still at that college. If there's been any coordination, because they've got their full staff in there as well. That's within our county, obviously.
And Dr. Amy has been working with the college. Maybe she can better respond to that question.
Yeah. Can you
guys
hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Yes, I met with Dr. Terenzio last Friday and made it very clear to her what the situation was and what we were looking at. In response to that, she has made some different recommendations to her students. The SUNY system is beholden to the governor, and I believe the comptroller, I believe is what she said. And so they are working with them to try to do things in a safe way as possible. The SUNY break has actually been extended by a week, so it's a 2-week break at this point. That second week is to allow the professors to put their classes online and to move as much as possible online. They're discouraging students from coming back, but there are some courses that that are, that you can't teach online, you can't, you know, you can't, if it requires you to touch a cow, of course you can't teach that online. So my recommendation to her was to bring students back in small groups. They've shut down all of the athletic facilities and everything like that. They're planning on staggered meal times for the students that are on campus, which will be a very limited number. But we are actively working with the college to make sure that the impact of the college students is mitigated. And quite frankly, I think that by the end of 2 weeks, it will be a moot point and there will be no possibility of them coming back at that point.
Anybody else? Go ahead.
I just want to say also, which I know Mike is very well aware of this, that there has been an emergency declaration declared for New York State. So while you're taking all these activities, make sure you document everything, because again, it could be reimbursable. So I hate to bring up finances, but that's a very important factor, that as you're buying your cleaning supplies, as you have staff going out performing emergency work, you want to take clear documentation. And it goes back to January 20th. So you can go back now to January 20th and start capturing any of those emergency precautions that you might have took, and we can hopefully apply to get that reimbursed. And my advice with Mike and with Wes is, when the state of emergency declaration comes out, like Bill said, just keep checking back. Tell the public, keep checking back for updates, because if anything pertains to them related to the SOE, it will be updated for them to reflect that.
Okay. And the good news is the state, say what you want about them, the state has been tremendous in providing information several times a day to the different groups.
Yes.
And
right, with their activation, their EOCs, yep, at full swing, as I've done for 17 years. Right. So
I'm not a big fan of the state, but I have to give credit where credit's due. They've done, I think, a heck of a job.
So even at the smallest local level, your courts, your towns, your mm-hmm. villages, start capturing that cost, that documentation.
Anybody else? All right. The would you like the state of emergency declaration read, or no?
Sorry, Chairman, I just wanted to mention one thing, only because something was said in page 9. It did not mention the Department of Motor Vehicles, which actually sees anywhere from 100 to 300 people. It's going to get worse, so what you decide, I will follow. And I, you know, that decision, I just want everyone to be...
That decision will be made at the working with, with the department head meeting.
That's the largest.
Honestly, it may be the largest. It may be brings in revenue, but that's secondary right now.
Yes, that is secondary. So I agree with that.
Yeah.
No, I just want to...
If I were you, I'd close it, but that's something we'll talk about.
That's why I want the suggestions and the advice from all of you to help me make a good decision.
Okay. I guess I will ask Cheryl to read the emergency orders as well as the declaration doesn't say much. But
the whole thing from the front and the back?
Yeah.
State of emergency declaration. The state of emergency is hereby declared in Schoharie County effective at 11 a.m. on March 16, 2020. This state of emergency has been declared due to the COVID-19 pandemic. The situation threatens the public safety. This state of emergency will remain in effect until rescinded by a subsequent order. As the chief executive of Schoharie County, I, William Federice, exercise the authority given me under Section 24 of the New York State Executive Law to preserve the public safety and hereby render all required and available assistance vital to the security, well-being, and health of the citizens of this municipality. I hereby direct all departments and agencies of Schoharie County to take whatever steps necessary to protect life and property, public infrastructure, and provide such emergency assistance deemed necessary. Local emergency order for Schoharie County. I, William Federice, the Chief Executive of Schoharie County, in accordance with the Declaration of a State of Emergency issued on March 16, 2020, and pursuant to Section 24 of the New York State Executive Law, do hereby order, 1. Schoharie County will temporarily suspend current policy and procedures to follow alternative staffing and compensation measures to protect the safety of our employees and visitors during the COVID-19 pandemic. 2. Schoharie County will temporarily suspend current procurement and administrative procedures to expedite emergency purchase and service delivery. The purchasing agent shall seek county administrator or designee sign off for necessary budget modifications to change appropriation amounts, suspend normal contracting procedures, and allow other irregular practices. County administrator shall provide a weekly report of all such decisions to the board of chairman of the board or designee as a method of oversight. 3. Board of Supervisors meetings and committee meetings may be suspended or conducted through telephone or other electronic means. 4. All Schoharie County schools shall be closed as of March 16, 2020 to help slow the spread of COVID-19. This order shall take effect March 16, 2020 at 11 a.m. and shall remain in effect until removed by order of the Chief Executive. This order may also be renewed in 5-day increments. Failure to obey this order is a criminal offense punishable by law under New York State Executive Law 24-5, signed on March 16th, March 2020, 11 a.m.
Okay. And this is what we used to call a living document. It could be revised, most likely will be revised, and we'll continue with the 5-day increments as till we no longer need to. Yes, Leo.
Doesn't this almost force the towns and villages to resign?
I don't think so, but I'm going to defer to Mike. He can answer that better.
I still think that the towns have, you know, their own power to do what they need to do, but I would take this as a serious advisement.
Now, I've been asked in my town, other people have mentioned to me, they've been asked the same, that the what is our town doing? And most of these towns, our towns, are smaller. They don't have the same resources as the county. So my answer has been, generally speaking, we're going to fold under the county in terms of how we react and provide services to the our citizens. We'll be asking the county to take over that part of the world, especially if it's a lot bigger than we can handle.
Yeah, and I don't see the need for each town to issue its own emergency order, right?
Well, they wanted to suspend their meetings along the same lines.
Yeah. Mike?
You don't have, the towns don't have to. If you're looking for reimbursement and stuff like that, because emergency is covered under the county, so you don't have to do your own. If you'd like to do your own, call us. We'll gladly write it for you.
Okay.
We do all the time. So.
Yes, Steve.
Governor's office just put out a press release about three states, including New York, laying out some rules, limit crowd capacity for recreational and social gatherings to 50 people, effective 8 p.m. tonight. Restaurants and bars will close for on-premise services and move to takeout and delivery only, effective 8 p.m. tonight. And movie theaters, gyms, and casinos will temporarily close, effective 8 p.m. tonight. This is very similar to what was put out yesterday for New York City only. It's just a press release. I haven't seen an order or anything, so right. I don't know how mandatory this is, but this is the latest. Well,
that answered a few of the questions that we had a little while ago, didn't it?
Somebody's
Amy, are you trying to bring up
people like this? Yeah, I want to go back a couple paragraph. I didn't hear what Mike's response was to what the town should do.
Okay.
you get it?
Yeah, let Mike do it.
Yeah, Sandra, what I put out is for reimbursement, you're covered under the county's state of emergency, but if you would like to put out your own state emergency for your town, just let me or Colleen know. We'll gladly type it for you.
No, I didn't mean that. I'll go back up one more. What Mike West said about what the town should do as far as, I think he was talking about being open, but I'm not sure. I couldn't hear him.
No, I wanted it to be up to each town to make its own decision. Certainly, they could take the position that the county has taken as a guidance and a guide. I mean, I just think you know best what's best for your community. And I still always think it's important to look positive here and to let all your constituents know that to whatever extent necessary that you're open for business. I mean, I just don't see, that's all I'm saying. You just have to use common sense in your approach, in your community. That's it.
If nobody has anything else, I just have a closing comment or two, and because we want to make the room available for our department heads that will be here soon. You took away some of what I wanted to say about leadership. I mean, we are in a crisis. I mean, whether you think maybe we're getting a little too draconian or not, or whether how bad this thing is going to get, this is a crisis. And in a crisis, I think the quality of a person comes out better than anything else. It's a true testament of how they handle things. And I believe 16 supervisors, and as well as all the department heads in the county, are the leaders for how we manage this. So, and I'm confident that we will demonstrate that leadership. And it's a good team. If somebody's not, and you know, it's not like we do this once a year. So if somebody's not sure about something, or somebody admittedly doesn't have an answer, rather than give bad answers, contact the appropriate person in county government and get that level of assistance. Now, as far as trying to, I hate to say it, but the federal government has not always demonstrated the highest level of coordination, I would say, in getting the word out, and we're seeing conflicting sometimes answers to questions that people are bringing up, or conflicting guidance, and that's a whole different discussion. We need to avoid that at our level. So I would ask that if you get some kind of inquiry, unless it's a simple thing that's already been out there, direct them to the Office of Emergency Services, or direct them to myself or to Steve, particularly when it comes to talking to the press. We're not trying to stifle anybody, but we want to make sure you have the right answer to provide to those people. So, if there's nothing else, I'll ask for a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
So moved.
Second.
And second. All in favor.
Aye.
Thank you very much.
You know, I know this sounds terrible, but this is a good planning.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.